preacher plans it. And so today I know you have one text in your bulletin, but what can I say? It just didn't work last night. I'd ask you to find Luke chapter 6. We'll read verses 41 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through 49. And those of you who are able, would you stand with us as we read these words of Christ in your hearing? After which we'll ask God to prepare our hearts to hear what He has to say to us. Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through 49. We find these words near the end of the sermon by Christ. He says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." Verse 43. "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Verse 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Our Father, we need help today. Our Father, I particularly need help today. You know these lumps of clay in this room. You know what you plan to do in, through, and for each one. And so, Lord, I'd ask you to forgive the sins of this poor sinner and use even me for your good pleasure today. And may you be pleased to own your word and your people and the result of all that takes place here today. In Jesus' name, for his sake, for the glory of God and the good of your people, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject will remain the same as it appears in your bulletin. Your fruit reveals your delight. Your fruit reveals your delight. For the past few weeks, we've been discussing the command and our need to delight in the Lord, our need to find happiness in the Lord. For the past 2 weeks, We've discussed the real battle. For those of us who long to find happiness in the Lord, we recognize that there's a real battle going on here. In other words, it's not automatic. You don't delight in the Lord just because you say you delight in the Lord. And it's not easy. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't call it a war, wouldn't call it a battle, wouldn't say that we need armor. I've been encouraging us to take a serious look at our own lives to see if what is God really saying you find delight in? God tells us the truth. God is showing us who we are and what we are. So the problem obviously is not with God. Amen? So I've been encouraging us to take a serious look at our lives to see in what we really delight. Your lives tell you in what you delight. I hope to convince you of that in the next few minutes. There's a serious problem between what we say and what we do. There's been a serious problem throughout the generations between what people say and what they do. The Old Testament warned people to be very careful when there's a difference between what you say and what you do. The prophets warn, be very careful when there's a difference between what you say and what you do. Jesus warned, be very careful when there's a difference between what you say and what you do. The apostles warn, and I believe God has called me today to warn. I believe there's a lesson. You remember I mentioned to you last week that Katrina had a lot to say? Hurricane Katrina? As I meditated on this last night, I believe that this is one more lesson that Katrina should be teaching us as Christians. There was a lot of talk about being prepared before Katrina. But the actions showed that they were not. So it really didn't matter how much rhetoric was going on. And I want to tell you something else. It really isn't relevant that they spend a lot of money. You see? Spending a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy didn't make them ready for Katrina. Their talk didn't match their actions. My brother, my sister, my friend in particular, that doesn't know Jesus. That's what I have to say to you today. Be very careful that your talk about being ready to meet the Lord isn't just talk. Just as sure as that hurricane hit the coast, God knew it was coming. He's already told us that the storm is coming. And the clouds, little glimmers of the clouds have been gathering throughout the generations. Because the great judgment storm is coming. And only folks who talked about being ready, if that's all you've been doing, is talking about being ready, you will not stand when the storm comes. So I know this is not going to be pleasant. And so I have to say with Jeremiah, Lord, remember me today. Help me to get beyond their faces. God is not impressed with our talk. God is looking at our actions because He already knows our hearts. Fruit. The fruit has a lot to say. I want to talk to you about two groups of people for the next few minutes. Those who say they delight in the Lord, those who show they delight in the Lord. Those who say they delight in the Lord versus those who demonstrate it. All right? Let's take a look at this text. The first thing I notice is that false disciples are not honest about their own sin. Here's the way Jesus said it. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? This is Jesus speaking. You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Hypocritical behavior is not characteristic of a believer. You remember I've talked to you about what the word hypocrite means, right? Two-faced. You're one way around God's people. But how you really are comes out when you're somewhere else. Hypocrite. Hypocritical behavior is not characteristic of someone who's been born again. A judgmental attitude of others and complaining while you are committing even grosser sins. That's what Jesus is getting at. You're judging someone else while your life is so steeped in sin that you ought to be ashamed. And yet you're the most vocal one. It's the way Paul said it in the book of Romans. Romans 2. Verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice this very same thing. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who do such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, You are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. There it is. God's going to repay you for the fruit in your life. Not for, you know, you're going to have to give an account for your talk likewise. But your fruit will be judged. The only way to truly see your sins is to look in God's mirror. The only way to truly see your sin is to look in the mirror of God. This is the way James said it. James 1, verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." You see his concern? Don't just be talkers. Good religious talk. He says, do it. Let your actions talk for you. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. And then verse 25, but the one who looks intently in the perfect law. You see, there's the mirror. The one who looks intently in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's it. That's it. And what I'm saying here today is that every one of us needs to take a closer look. Something's wrong. So not only are false disciples not honest about their own sins, I also observe in this text that false disciples are not honest about their lifestyle. I believe that's what Jesus is getting at in verses 43 through 46. Look at it. He says, for no good tree, back in Luke 6, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? You see it? Why would you call me Lord, Lord, knowing that you don't plan to obey me? The false disciple is not honest about his lifestyle. Talk's a good game, but his life is totally different than his talk. You see, Jesus isn't talking about a failing. All of us fail. All of us commit acts of sin. He's talking about a lifestyle here. The lifestyle has not changed, and yet your talk is like it has. In the light, you talk one way. But in the dark, you live just like you always have. The fruit reveals truth about the root. The fruit tells you what's going on in the root, right? The fruit reveals truth about the heart. That's what Jesus is saying. The fruit is our words, our actions and our attitudes. Bad fruit, no grace. Bad fruit is no mercy. Bad fruit is no love. Jesus explains all of this early on in this sermon. He talks about being poor and meek and gracious and not being vengeful. But when these things are absent, when there's bitterness and envy and strife, this is bad fruit. I want to tell you something else. I know this is not popular, but it's time that we take a look at the mirror. When you got no time for prayer, no interest in prayer, no time for Bible study, no interest in Bible study, private or public, you fake it, you know a few verses, and you come really spiritual, but you spent no time with God. No real interest in it, except to impress people. No interest in the poor. You like to complain, but you don't have any real interest in them. No interest in the helpless. No interest in the lost. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Bad fruit. Bad fruit. Now, Brother Willie, why are you talking about this? For the same reason that the prophets did. The same reason that Jesus did. The same reason that the apostles did. If you recognize these symptoms in your life, I'm pleading with you today to be honest. I'm pleading with you today to stop faking it. I'm pleading with you today to confess that your heart needs to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one. Counselors can't change your heart. Pastors can't change your heart. Deacons, whoever you meet with, celebrities, television, radio celebrities, they can't change your heart. Only God can change your heart. But you must be honest. And you must confess that your heart needs to be changed. How do I say it? Lord, Lord, your lifestyle is speaking loud and clear. That's what I'm trying to say. Your lifestyle speaks louder than your words. So the question is, will you listen to what your lifestyle is telling you? A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Neither can a good tree bear bad fruit. If you got bad fruit, God is telling you something about your heart. Amen. That's what he's saying. Your lifestyle is shouting. Look at me. That's what it's saying. The Holy Spirit is shouting, stop and look at your life. What does your life tell you about your heart? Not what you're thinking about yourself, for every man is right, what? In his own eyes. No, what is your life really telling you? Please, 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 please pray to be honest. Because it's serious. And here's the reason it's serious. Verse 49. If these symptoms are crystal clear in your life, then the false disciple has a certain destruction that's awaiting. It is absolutely, positively certain that you will be destroyed. That's my burden. Because your walk doesn't match your talk. You see what Jesus says? Verse 49. But the one who hears and does not do them, he's speaking about his word. The one who hears them and doesn't obey, right? The one who hears and does not do my word is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Now, how can you read this and not think about what happened just a few days ago? People who thought they were safe, who thought they were secure, who thought they could ride out the storm, built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And look at what Jesus says. And the ruin of that house was great. You've heard people say, we lost it all. Losing all your possessions is nothing compared to losing your soul. You lose your possessions for a little while. You lose your soul forever. What is Jesus saying? There's no firm foundation, Brother Leonard. There is no firm foundation for the hypocrite. You're deceiving yourself to keep saying that I'm saved when your life is telling you something totally different. You're bringing greater condemnation on yourself to go on pretending. When you're saying, Lord, Lord, you're my master, I love you, I delight in you, and Jesus says, and you do not do what I say. How can you say that? How can you open your mouths to utter that lie when your life tells you every day that is not true? There's no firm foundation for the hypocrite because their religious life is a pretense. Their religious life is phony. It's simply an outward shell of religious talk and actions. That's all. Their hearts still love the world. Their hearts still love sin and not Jesus. They do not delight in the Lord. They do not find joy in the Lord. They do not find happiness in the Lord. They do not love the Lord. Therefore, they will not stand in the judgment. How many of us joy in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and that he meditates day and night. He'll go on, he'll be prosperous. But listen at verse 4. God not only talks about the blessing for the righteous man, he talks about the destruction of the wicked. The wicked are not so. They don't delight in the law of the Lord. They do walk in the counsel of the wicked. They do sit in the seat of scoffers, stand in the path of sinners. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Do you see that picture? There's no foundation there. And as soon as the wind of God blows on your life, my pretending friend, you will fall. All of the faking in the world can't hold up under the wind of God's judgment. If your house isn't built on the rock Christ Jesus, it will not stand. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff which, that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I'm pleading. Be honest today. I don't know another word. I don't know how else to plead. I don't know how else to beg you. I'm pleading for your own soul. Look at your life and see what it tells you. I discovered about 2 weeks ago that I have a problem in my yard. I got a problem with grubs and moles. See, some of y'all are laughing. It's just been the year for it, hasn't it? Problem with grubs and moles. Now, there were some early signs that I had a problem, but I ignored them because I just thought these early signs were just heat related. You know, it's been so hot and dry, and so I thought, here's one or two dead patches, so it must just be because it's so dry. But then I noticed that the watering wasn't doing it any good. Not only did I have those one or two dead patches, but I started getting some other dead patches. Because my yard was talking to me, but I wasn't understanding what my yard was saying. My yard was telling me that it's sick. But I was thinking, it's all right. All it needs is a little more water. Put a little more water on it and it'll be okay. Then I noticed that the mole started tunneling to eat the grubs. Can't ignore the problem anymore. That certainly is not hot weather. Can't deny the fact that I have a major problem in my yard. I didn't address it when it was a minor problem. Now I got a crisis. I got to take radical action now to kill the grubs and to drive off the moles. Because if any of you know anything about what I'm talking about, there's no pretty, there's no neat way to deal with grubs and moles. Likewise, there's no neat and pretty way to deal with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is an extremely serious sin. You know, Jesus used some of the strongest language in the Bible when talking to hypocrites. Right? Those of you who read your Bible, some of the strongest language uttered from the mouth of Christ was when he was talking to hypocrites. Woe to you, hypocrite! You throw out all of this religious talk. You put these stumbling blocks in front of people. You'll travel miles, hundreds of miles, to make a proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell. Whoa. You use some of the strongest language. There were early signs of hypocrisy in your life, just like in my yard. But some of you have been ignoring it. God's been showing you all along that you're not real. But you've been ignoring it. You've been accrediting it to something else, just like I did in my yard. But now you must radically address this disease condition of your heart before it's too late to be saved. You see, if you don't address grubs and moles, your yard will eventually have to be torn up and redone. My friend, if you can hear now and understand that God is saying something to you, you need to do something quickly. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. If you will not repent, then your house will fall. If you will not repent, your soul will fall and be destroyed forever. And so I'm wondering, why would you perish when Jesus offers deliverance? Why would you perish when He offers healing? Why would you perish when He offers salvation? Why would you continue to pretend when your life is shouting boldly that Christ is not your delight? He's not your first love. Please repent today. But I'm so thankful that that's not all that Jesus said. Jesus spent the majority of the time talking about those who say they delight in the Lord, and that's what I did. But He also spent a few minutes talking about those who show that they delight in the Lord. And I want to spend some time there. There are those here who show that you delight in the Lord. And this is the way Jesus said it. True disciples obey what I say. Look at verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He comes to me, hears my words, and he obeys. Jesus says, this is that man. I want to show you that everybody who's following me is not phony. There's some true people here, true disciples, those who do love me. And you're not to be discouraged by those who are phony, those who are false. Brother Brad, you're not to lose heart and grow weary in good work because there are those who will not obey me. You are to stay faithful and true. You are to know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Truly you are disciples of mine if you do what I say. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So then he says, those who hear and do my words, they build their hopes on the unfailing word of God. These are the true disciples. They build their future on the unfailing word of God. They believe that obedience to Christ will stand the test of time and eternity. They believe that because Jesus has saved me, because he holds me in his mighty hand, because he says no one can snatch you out of my hand, because he said this, I can be faithful and true. Because Jesus said this, I can be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor in Him is not in vain. There are some here who know that. There are some here who demonstrate your love for God. Jesus says, if you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14. And that's all Jesus is saying here. Don't call me Lord, Lord, if you don't obey me. So, that's good fruit. Their actions are consistent with their words. There are people here who are ready to forgive, ready to show mercy and do it. Not just talk it, forgive. Not hold bitterness and envy and strife and jealousy, but forgive. And there are those here who show mercy, those who find time for prayer, private prayer, public prayer, find time for Bible study, private Bible study, public Bible study, find time to help the poor, help the needy, help the helpless, take the gospel to the lost. Good fruit. Those here who have joy on their faces. How can you say you love Jesus and there's No joy. They love God with their words and their actions. And then finally, Jesus says that true disciples will persevere in the joy of the Lord. That's what I see in verse 48. He says, I'm going to show you what a true disciple is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation. You see, he didn't just build a house on the sand of the shore in Alabama. He didn't just build a house on the shore there in Louisiana. He didn't just build a house on top of the surface. He dug deep. And laid the foundation on what? The rock. He wasn't going to settle for just any kind of house. He wanted to make sure his hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus. I'm on the solid rock I stand. There's some here who've laid that foundation. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house. What? Could not shake it? Could not shake it. Troubles in life don't shake the true believer. I'm not saying we don't have trouble. I didn't say that. But it doesn't destroy your house. Because it has been built. What is Jesus saying? True disciples persevere in trials. True disciples go through the fires, through the waters, through the storms. True disciples said, Lord, help me to count it all joy when I encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith produces endurance. Lord, help me to let endurance have its perfect result so that I may come forth from this trial perfect, mature, lacking in nothing. Hallelujah. The true believer knows that I may be afflicted in every way, but I'm not crushed. The true believer knows that I may be perplexed about life. I can't figure out why my life is so difficult. I can't figure it all out, but I'm not being driven to despair. The true believer knows that I've been persecuted on every hand, but Jesus has not forsaken me. Jesus has promised I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I believe it because he says he's the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. The true believer knows that I may be struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Because he's still with me. Still with me. He has not forsaken me. True believer can say with Paul, I will not lose heart, though my outer man is decaying. My inner man is being renewed day by day, right? The true believer can say, these light, momentary afflictions are working in me a weight of glory beyond comparison. These light afflictions are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits. The true believer knows that in Christ they will stand in the judgment. In Christ you'll stand. Because you've been placed in him. That's the only way you can stand in the judgment. In him. For we must all appear before the judgment of Christ, right? To give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. And the only way to stand is to be in Christ. True believer knows, having been justified by faith, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I have been introduced to that grace in which we stand. It's in Him. It's in Him. The true believer knows that death is victory for those who love Christ. The true believer knows that even judgment is victory for those who love Christ. So the true believer can say, "Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." Hallelujah. The true believer knows that to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Therefore, my beloved brother and sister in Jesus Christ, and my friends here today, I placed before you two categories of people. Those who say they delight in Christ, and those who show they delight in the Lord. I place before you two choices, the way of life and the way of death. Two choices, the way of victory or the way of defeat. Two choices, the way of deliverance or the way of destruction. God's way or the way that seems right to man. The choice of finding delight in the Lord or delight in the world. Two choices, a firm foundation or foundation of sinking sand. Jesus Christ in all of His immaculate glory or the world's temporary and fading pleasures. Which will you choose today? I plead with you to choose life. I plead with you to choose victory. I plead with you to choose God's way. Choose a firm foundation. Choose Jesus Christ, and you will bear fruit for time and eternity. You'll find true delight in Him, and He will never fail. Our Father, have mercy. Lord, I end where I began. We need your help. We need your help to hear what you're saying. We need your help to see what you're saying. We need your help to see where we are in time. We need your help to see how close the storm is. We need your help to see how much danger is on the horizon. We need your help here. We need your help to persevere when the storm is raging. We need your help to not give way when things are rough. We need your help, Lord, to go on when we've been afflicted, when we're perplexed, when we're persecuted, when we're cast down. We need your help, Lord. But we know you will not fail. So, Lord, would you bring one out of darkness, out of hypocrisy today, and then encourage the hearts of those who are sealed to you, who are sealed to your way, who are ready to go on while there's yet time. In Jesus' name, amen.